The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. This is Wildcat Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KMAN Sports Director, Mitch Fortner.
You know, Tuesdays at Chris Klieman's press conference, we always hear from him at 12:30 from Veneer. But at 12, they get some catering in and they give a little buffet to the media that shows up for the press conference, and also those at Veneer, part of the football staff, and those that work in there get to eat there as well. I think for the media this week, it might be a little bit different than what we're used to. It might just be a whole buffet of crow, just straight up crow for most of us, I would say. Me, including me slightly, not as much as some others, but I'll tell you what. This last game was just a little bit more fun than losing to Tulane. Welcome into Wildcat Insider. I'm Mitch Fortner with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. K-State pulls off another victory against the Oklahoma Sooners. Coach Klieman is now 3-1 against OU. And the final score Saturday night, Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, was the Wildcats 41 and number 6 Oklahoma 34. And, man, do I have a bunch of thoughts about this one. But I suppose we'll go ahead and just start with Adrian Martinez. That's who everybody was talking about after the win. He deserved to take that bow after the last rushing touchdown he had. He had 4 on the day. But holy cow, you want to talk about just a different player from week to week against Tulane. Just some mistakes were being made, wasn't throwing the ball downfield, maybe wasn't running as aggressive as he should have been. And talk about a turnaround against Oklahoma. Adrian Martinez played a lights-out ball game, and he made clutch plays, including that third down and 16 from their own 41-yard line. And it seems like, well, Oklahoma's about to get this ball back, and they're going to go try to march it down the field in a short amount of time and tie this ball game. Not if you ask Adrian Martinez. He didn't have anybody downfield open on those 4 verticals. He took off and ran. A nice block there by Phillip Brooks so he could take it off down the sideline. 55 yards for the play of the season so far. Adrian Martinez was just so much fun to watch and has completely turned around our thoughts now from what we had after Tulane of what this season could be, a special one. Back to where we thought it would be at the beginning of the year, thanks to 9 a.m.
He was incredible. There's no question about that. I think it's easy to sit here today and say what a difference a week makes, but frankly, I think it's deeper than that. I think sometimes when people are challenged, they respond in a positive way. Sometimes they respond in a negative way, and I think we know which way this one went. He was just a different guy and the guy that K-State was expecting from the get-go. There's no doubt about that. He was terrific. It was a great night, and it was Adrian Martinez's night, but it was also, I think, just a fabulous team victory. K-State had 509 yards on Brent Venables' defense, to give you one example. All the things that they struggled with the week prior, they pretty much shored up. I mean, there were no turnovers. There were very few penalties. They made plays. They made plays on third down. They competed their tails off. There were so many standout performances. But you pretty much have to start with 9 a.m. as he's being called now. He was fabulous. And in visiting with him after the game, and this was after, you know, post-game and stuff, as we're getting ready to be screened and get on the bus and all of that, I mean, just you could just tell that there was – such a feeling that he had of I'll even just say conquering the moment, okay? Again, people weren't happy last week, and I'm not saying they should have been, but I think it was motivational to him in a big way, and he turned it on, turned it up, turned it loose, boom, you saw what happened.
Adrian Martinez with four rushing touchdowns. He also threw for a touchdown to put the Cats up 13-0 to Malik Knowles on a slight slant route. Just boxed out that defender, caught the ball, was bumped into the end zone. And K-State's off and running. And I got to tell you, I was convinced pretty early that this was going to be a different offense. And going into this game, I, of course, had my doubts. Everybody had their doubts, I would say. Because K-State scored 10 points against Tulane. UMass also scored 10 points against Tulane, who's one of the worst FBS teams that the FBS has to offer, really. And you're asking for a lot to turn around, a lot of things to be corrected against an Oklahoma team that is coached by Brent Venables, one of the best defensive minds that college football has to offer. That first drive, watching Adrian Martinez command that offense, I was convinced. I'm like, all right, the Cats definitely have a chance. After watching that first drive, not just throwing the football. Okay, he found Bennett Sinnott twice for some big gains.
Yep.
I was like, okay, we're rolling now. He found a wide-open Ben Sinnott. He wasn't afraid to chuck it. He had multiple plays of over 20 yards. We're moving now. It wasn't just that, though. Because what was another complaint about Adrian Martinez after Tulane? He wasn't aggressive running the football. Well, K-State picked up three third downs on that first drive. All were on the ground with the wheels of Adrian Martinez. And some were harder to pick up than others. One of them he almost didn't because a wide receiver gave up on a block, and he kept the wheels churning. Two or three Sooners were trying to tackle him. He kept it going. And K-State converted, combined, just three third and fourth downs against Tulane, converted three third downs on that first drive. I was like, okay. Yeah. After watching that 7 points get scored, this is a game K-State can win. You just had to maybe sit on the edge of your seat for three and a half more quarters and watch it play out and hope for the best.
I say all the time that sometimes the quarterback gets way too much credit and way too much blame. With that said, he's going to get a lot of credit for this one, and he should. But I'm going to stop a minute here and also say that everyone else was better too. My point is, this was, I believe, a highly motivated football team after Tulane. And to me, that's kind of the story here. They did not perform well. They just didn't in the Tulane game. You could see it all over the field. We sat here last Monday and said their defense was good enough that day to give K-State a chance to win the game. But when you talk to them, and them, I mean the defenders, they said they weren't good enough. Offensive line said they weren't good enough. Some of the other guys said, we just didn't get it done. This week, they were ready to play, motivated to play, and executed. You know, you can be as ready as you want, but it still is all about execution and effort. That's what we saw Saturday night, is execution and effort.
And I agree. I think across the board, even if somebody did make a mistake, everybody was redeeming themselves in one way or another. If it was just the blocking, like the offensive line, it wasn't a perfect night. And the way, if you put this into a simulation, just going by the previous numbers for the previous three games of both teams, you know, Oklahoma was going to give up some rushing yards, but they were supposed to wreak some havoc in the backfield. I mean, they are averaging 10 or 11 tackles for loss, mm-hmm. like K-State's defense was.
By the way, K-State took them out of that pretty quickly.
And that's and helped, you know, and also sacks. I mean, Oklahoma's been one of the best teams in the country by sacking the quarterback. How many sacks did they have in this game? A big ol' zero.
Yep.
A big ol' zero. They did have four tackles for loss. That is less than half of what they are averaging entering that game against against K-State. 537-1350 is our number. I believe we got a caller, Trey.
Yes, we do.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I don't know if either one of you are old enough to remember this song or not. What a difference a day makes. There's also another saying I know you've heard. There's a lot of people that should have egg on their face, and it's also a short trip from the sewer to the penthouse.
That's a fact.
How do you like those?
I like them a lot.
Have a great day. You're doing All right.
Thank you very much for the call.
It's an interesting call.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, it goes back to, I think, motivation, is an interesting thing. And disappointment in losing, that's what I think I appreciate as much as anything, is the disappointment you saw in the faces of the players after Tulane and how that quickly changed. You could tell at the press conference on Tuesday that there was still mad there, frustration there, and what have you, but they were turning and moving. I mean, and I'm just being honest. I felt like I could see some of that and hear some of that in some of the comments. And I've talked to several different players. I interviewed two, but I talked to several different players. And I just felt like – I'm not sitting here saying that I thought it was a lock that K-State was going to go and beat Oklahoma. I don't mean it that way in any way, shape, or form. But you could tell they were motivated to come back and put together a really good performance. And I salute them for doing so.
Yeah, and – KT Levenston, it was a that you see that video that K-State football Twitter tweeted out about, just kind of like there's like pregame stuff, and there was that fan, that Oklahoma fan, drinking a Michelob Ultra, and I needed somebody to translate. I can't understand redneck very well, but somebody ended up tweeting out the dialogue, and it said something about, you know, Lincoln Riley isn't here anymore to give up. We're back, or something like that. And there was a player giving them the side eye, the dead eye, like, okay, we hear you. But also KT Leviston was yelling in the red the locker room, like, I don't like being doubted, or something like that. He scared me a little bit. Huh. He scared me. There's no doubt. I think this team, yes, there were doubters, but it wasn't like the fan base was giving up on him or anything. Oh, sure. I would at least say for most, they weren't giving up. I mean, we're not watching the game if we don't believe in you. That's certainly it. But I'll put it this way as well. They proved a lot of people wrong. The coaching staff, the players proved a lot of people wrong yesterday, or 2 days ago, Saturday.
Yeah, and I think what should be said here is that, again, you salute the group for rebounding. Mm-hmm. And that means coaches, players, everybody. And yet, I think this is the point where all of us are anxious to see what this weekend brings, because you have a pretty good Texas Tech team in here. And I guess what I'm saying is, let's see how it goes this week. Can you put, you know, really good performances back-to-back together and then really put yourself into what appears to be a very, very wide-open Big 12 race? Those are the things that I'm thinking about on this Monday.
And you mentioned it earlier, and this was, I don't think, was talked about enough, is I think it was said by me and the others on the show here about how, you know, Adrian, if what it takes to let it loose, to really warm up, is to throw an interception, if it happens, not a big deal. Come back and let's go get him the next time. There was a lot of improvement made without turning the football over. He has still not thrown an interception this season.
Yeah. And I guess that's, you know, again, there are lots of things that we can talk about with Adrian. But you know what? I can't imagine what his week was like last week after the loss, and probably hearing and reading some of the things that had been said and what have you. But whatever, however he handled it, he did it the right way. What I mean by that is he said very little other than at the presser on Tuesday. And if you heard his comments there, he answered every question. He was honest. I felt like you could just tell that things were going to be okay. Win, lose, or draw, we'll see how it goes this week. And he showed up, and wow, he put on a display. He was excellent.
Yeah, K-State scored 41 points against a team that was averaging, giving up, what, 10?
Mm-hmm.
10 points a game? Yeah. I lesser opponents, of course, even though Kent State actually doesn't seem too bad. Gave Oklahoma a lot of fits in that first half.
Sure.
In Norman, but K-State back to winning, and they're 1-0. In Big 12 play, 3-1 overall, and you're right, up next. I mean, this game got a lot bigger all of a sudden after what happened this past Saturday, because Tech beats Texas at home in overtime, and Bijan Robinson fumbling a couple of times, the last one basically cost Texas the game, and now Oklahoma losing to K-State and K-State Texas Tech. Saturday, 11 a.m., PowerCat Game Day will start at 7 in the morning right here on KMAN. I suppose when we come back, we'll talk about the number that is next to K-State's name now, and there's one fan base that is really whining about it because their team isn't ranked. Up next on Wildcat Insider. Well, still to come here in hour one of Wildcat Insider. As a matter of fact, we go in and break the news now. Coach Jerome Tang of K-State men's basketball, the coaching staff, just got a commitment for the 2023 class. He is player number three for that class. A small forward, 6'6", 210 pounds from East St. Louis, Illinois. And that is Michaela Rich, who is a three-star, I believe a consensus three-star, has just committed to the Cats as of about, I think that was right about the top of the hour is when he decided to commit. So we'll hope to get more on him on that in just a little bit here. Some more notes about K-State football after this win against the Oklahoma Sooners. Adrian Martinez has been named the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. Kobe Savage, with his 11 tackles, has become the Newcomer of the Week. And those are the first two weekly honors from the Big 12 for K-State this season. Also, K-State has been named the Cheez-It Bowl National Team of the Week. Is this just like a sponsorship, or is this like the Football Writers Association of America?
It's part of the FWAA.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was also announced today, K-State at Iowa State, which is going to be a week from Saturday, will be a primetime matchup, but not on a big channel like we had against Oklahoma. Since Iowa State is not leaving for the SEC, it'll be on ESPNU, and it will kick off at 6:30. But I think there's no doubt that's going to be a lot of fun. I would imagine we will see Iowa State's black uniforms, which a lot of people around here don't like. I'm personally a fan of.
Are you?
I do like the look. And they're like, well, it's not even their colors. Well, sometimes that's just the way it is. I don't know. K-State. Heck, the basketball team wears black sometimes. I think it would look good as well on a football uniform. But that's just me. I've made that argument many times. I'll save it again for another day, I suppose. So, Jayhawk fans are pretty unhappy today. They're pretty upset, even though they're 4-0. Off to their best start since 2009. Hey, hats off to KU, honestly, because Jalen Daniels is really good.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, he was throwing some dimes against Duke, and he can also run the football. But they're not ranked. I thought KU was going to be ranked after the win against Duke, even though they won by a score. Needed a big fourth down stop on their side of the field, did KU, to avoid any sort of upset bid to possibly happen. But K-State is ranked. At a record of 3-1, lost to Tulane at home, but beat number 6 Oklahoma on the road. KU fans are arguing, well, if you look at our resume, we beat West Virginia on the road, we beat Houston on the road, and we just at home beat Duke. Do I think KU should be ranked? I kind of do, actually.
Do you?
I kind of do. Defensively, and I'll admit this, I haven't really watched much of KU this season until the game against Duke. And I wasn't fully paying attention to that. As a matter of fact, I had some dual screens going. I set up two TVs in my living room. One had KU Duke. The other one had Iowa State and Baylor. And then I would flip the KU game back and forth to, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, it was Wake Forest Clemson. That also kicked at 11 a.m. because that was a really good game.
It was. Yep.
And so I'll ask you, Wyatt, like, KU fans are upset. National media is saying, hey, why'd you leave KU? AP voters, why'd you leave KU out of the ranking? Well, I thought KU made the coaches poll. They did not. They're 27th, and KU's 26th in the AP poll with 125 points, I guess is what you want to call it. K-State, 25th ranked with 166. I do believe K-State should be ranked. I absolutely do. You beat Oklahoma on the road like that, you should be ranked. Do you think KU should be ranked, Wyatt?
I would say probably not, but they are close, and that's, I think, what they need to take away with their start. That, hey, nobody probably thought they were going to be 4-0 at this point. I think if they beat Iowa State next weekend at home, there are going to be even a lot more people talking. But I would say I don't want to take anything away from what they have accomplished at all, because they've been one of the surprise teams in the entire country, really. But I think what has proven out in the first almost month of the season, and just being honest here, don't know that Houston is what everybody thought they were going to be, at least to this point. I mean, they went from ranked to not even a single vote in either poll, you know, four games in. So, and then, you know, say what you want, but winning a road game as a 2-1 football team at number 6 Oklahoma is going to hold a lot of stew. It's just what it is. And there's your difference from my perspective.
Right, and I do hear you. Watching KU's offense, though, I mean, to me, the defense, though, is like, watching them against Duke, I was like, you know, I don't think their defense is that special. They're okay. Offensively is obviously where they excel. But, I mean, we see it all the time, like, Oklahoma's still ranked 18th in the country.
Sure.
K-State beat them, and they're ranked higher than K-State. I mean, we see that, and it's about where you're at right now. And K-State right now is a top 25 team. Last week they were not, and they weren't even close. They proved it otherwise, though. I mean, they laid down an offensive and defensive performance good enough to go on the road to a team that's going to be in the SEC in a couple of years, ranked top 10 in the country. And they were either tied or led the entire game.
That's absolutely right. And I in the grand scheme of things, it's really nice. And I'm sure even if KU is a little bit chapped that they're not in, I got to think that the happiness of being 4-0 would outweigh that. That's just me. I don't want to speak for them in any way, shape, or form, but that's the way I would look at it. It's much more important that they're 4-0 at this point than it is that they're 26th in one poll and 27th in the other, right? Because, frankly, it means nothing right now. Get into late October, first part of November, mm-hmm. probably means a little bit more. There are some that say we shouldn't have rankings until the 1st of October or even mid-October. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm kind of mixed on it just because I think rankings are always fun, but until you get into it a little bit and what have you, it is what it is.
Well, it's a great tool for marketing.
Of course.
I mean, it's a draw.
And it's some, you know, people pay attention to that stuff. It's just kind of what it is. Excuse me. And it is, in the grand scheme of things, we would all rather be ranked than not. All of us. Every FBS school in the country would like to be ranked. And that's probably the specialness of it, that there are just 25 that are.
But I look at if K-State was in KU's shoes and is 4-0, played that resume and not ranked, like I would probably be hot about that too.
Maybe.
Sure. Honestly, I probably would, because you just feel at that point disrespected.
Well, I understand that. Again, I'm just trying to say, though, they should – again, I don't want to tell them what to do, but I think they're thrilled to be 4-0. They have an exciting and improving team and a quarterback that a lot of people are saying is as good as most, and all of that is probably so. You know? So there's some positives there too.
And seeing K-State ranked 25th, I mean, there were some AP voters that had K-State, what did I see them, like 13th, 14th, 15th? Like there were a number of voters that had K-State at that high. One voter had K-State the second best team in the Big 12. I think that's pretty cool, other than Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is right now the highest-ranked team in the conference in the AP poll at number 9. And honestly, it kind of feels like Oklahoma State is that one team that's not being talked about. Like, I've barely heard nationally, like, a peep about Oklahoma State. I've heard about Baylor. Of course, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas. Hardly anything about Oklahoma State. And maybe that's just because of, well, who they've played so far. They just haven't played a soul. And they won by 2 scores against Arizona State. That's trash. So maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe it's Sanders? Isn't he like the best? He's like had the best season so far of throwing the football out of any quarterback or something like that.
He'd be up there a ways. He's a guy that has a great deal of experience, got some tools around him, has played in some major big time games in his time there. And I think that's what we're saying, and that's why, you know, maybe that's why KU feels like they should be ranked, because we all know the game is about good quarterback play, mm-hmm. and they've gotten good quarterback play. So you can argue that all day long, I suppose. But I respect what Oklahoma State does and how they do it, and I think Sanders has been. I don't think he's been at the top of his game yet, but he's been pretty darn good.
And why we've been sitting here, I came on at the beginning of the segment and said, you know, maybe I do lean towards KU being ranked. I'm looking through like the rest of the, you know, 20 through 25 and just kind of looking through resumes and who they've played so far compared to KU. Now I'm leaning more towards UI because, I mean, they haven't played like what Pitt has seen, like Florida State, Wake Forest, who are also in the, you know, 22, 23. I would say they've definitely played a tougher schedule than what KU has seen. I mean, Duke has got to be one of the worst Power 5 teams that there is this season. And they've kind of been in that area for some time. So, I guess better like this week, KU. I guess you got Iowa State at home. I mean, a win there. But I'll be honest with you. I'd rather, of course, see Iowa State come into Farmageddon with a win over KU. I really do. I don't want to have to play an Iowa State team that just got thumped by the Jayhawks. Now you're playing them home, because playing in Ames is already a weird place to play anyway. Don't need no extra heat with an angry Iowa State team.
Sure.
On the road in Ames.
Well, they lost at home this past weekend to a really good Baylor team.
Yeah, they did.
And I know they'll be motivated this week. KU will be certainly motivated. That could be a very interesting game. No question about that.
Well, still to come, I do want to take a look back at the last weekend in the Big 12. Because there were some pretty big upsets, and the two teams that pulled off the big upsets will meet at Bill Snyder Family Stadium on Saturday. So to come in hour two as well, we'll hear from Deuce Vaughn, who spoke to the media and did, in a way, you know, kind of call out the haters, call out the doubters after that victory against Oklahoma. Preview of Texas Tech all coming up. More on the K-State commit for basketball next. Our number is 537-1350. If you feel like calling in, you want to ask White Thompson a question about the win for the Cats against Oklahoma, you can certainly do that. Still to come in hour two, we'll talk more about Adrian Martinez and what the offense was able to do against Oklahoma. Deuce Vaughn at 525, who spoke with the media. But right now, some breaking news for K-State men's basketball. In this hour, about 45 minutes ago, K-State had been waiting on this commitment for a while. Seemed like a race between K-State, Mizzou, and Ole Miss on who was going to land three-star forward McCaleb Rich, who is 6'6", a three-star from East St. Louis, and that's in Illinois. And this is a kid that K-State has been talking to for a few months now. This is somebody who they saw it in AAU circuit, according to Derek Young. And I guess the tipping point was when he visited for the Missouri game, when K-State played Missouri in football. And he was around Coach Tang and the coaching staff when Coach was trying to get the crowd fired up and jumped into the stands and did the Wabash.
I think he was more than trying. I think he got it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And got the KSU chant going.
Yeah.
And that was, that was, of course, right after there, you know, there was the news that got out there about Dr. Frank Trace thinking about pulling Wabash from the playlist, which couldn't imagine that. But if the chant didn't stop, gonna have to take it away. Well, Coach Tang also helping lead the charge of getting the chant stopped by chanting KSU. Well, Michaela Rich witnessed what took place. K-State got themselves a good player, their third commit for 2023.
Yeah, and that's the exciting part, because now you have, and I can't say a lot about these guys, can't call them by name yet or any of that, but 2 4-stars and a 3-star
yep.
For 2023.
top 30 class right now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you want. I mean, it's interesting that he commits today. They've been on him a while, as you talked about. This is a day where K-State's first real organized day was today, and so it's good to add to that that class. I think everybody is excited about, you know, this group and those three coming, and should be. It's really pretty. I think everyone is impressed at the job that Coach Tang and his staff have done so far, whether it's on the coaching side, whether it's on the recruiting side, whether it's on being out in public and getting people tuned into K-State basketball and cranked up for it. It's been A++ all the way across the board, frankly.
The other two commitments for the class of 2023 are both four stars. Dede Ames was the first to commit, and he's been committed since July. Mm-hmm. So it's been a few months now. He's 6'1 point guard and a four-star. And then R.J. Jones, 6'3 shooting guard, who's also a four-star. So you have two top 100 kids. Mikayla Rich, what I've seen, he's 100 to 150, just depending on where you look. But he's a top 150 kid. So with the star ratings and all that, yes, it doesn't exactly say that he's as talented. I don't have any numbers on him to really describe what kind of player he is, but he's just kind of – he's a strongest all-around player from what I understand.
I think what probably should be said here, if he's the number three prospect in Illinois in a state that plays really good high school basketball, that should tell you that he's probably a pretty quality player. Small forward, has been described as a guy who plays hard, defends, can shoot it, just an all-around quality wing. For K-State, that's so you've got a point guard, a shooting guard, and a three-man coming in for 2023 as of right now.
All right, when we come back, we'll take our last break here of the first hour. When we come back, take a look at the Big 12 from this last weekend. We wrap up Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider coming up next. We continue on with Wildcat Insider, Mitch Fortner with the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, Travion Berklin on the board today. So, Big 12 in week number four actually started on Thursday in a non-conference game where West Virginia, I didn't realize Virginia Tech was not very good. It's not like I watched Virginia Tech hooky football, but West Virginia put on an impressive showing where they just really dominated this matchup against Virginia Tech with Jalen Daniels throwing for over 200.
It's really an interesting thing when you look at the first couple of games, West Virginia losing, of course, to Pitt in a really good game in Pittsburgh, and then the home loss to Kansas. Say what you want, but they allowed 70-ish points in those two, and they've been pretty darn good in rebounding since then. Now, Towson was one, and Virginia Tech on the road was two. So I think my point is there is improvement there. I think they've got themselves a pretty good quarterback in the Daniels kid who was at Georgia. He threw for 203 yards and a touchdown in this game, and they've also got a really good-looking freshman running back. That's an impressive win for them, whether most people paid attention to it or not. I think they feel pretty good about being 2-2 after 0-2 start.
Now, Deuce Vaughn is leading the conference in rushing, but Bijan Robinson has scored the most touchdowns in the running game. But Texas Tech stuns number 22 Texas in Lubbock 37-34. It took overtime to get it done, but Bijan Robinson fumbles the last offensive snap of the game for Texas to set up Texas Tech in the bottom half of the overtime to win it.
It's been a very interesting couple of days since that game for Bijan, from what I've been reading on social media.
Yeah,
but that's only like his third fumble in like 400 plus carries. But it was significant. You can't take it away. Here's the thing that I would point to every bit as much as the fumble. Texas led it in that ball game at one point 31-17 and let it get away.
I'm looking to see what Donovan Smith did, because I know
he had a big game. He threw 58 passes.
Yeah, he went well, he had back-to-back games though with a pick six, didn't he?
I think that's right. Okay. Don't have that information right in front of me, but he's an interesting talent. He's started three straight games since Tyler Shuck got injured. He's thrown 50-plus in two of those three, but also a run threat. And he's got some guys around him. He's 6'5 and 230 pounds. He's a good-looking athlete.
So it appears that right now Texas Tech, like so far this season, doesn't have like a strong running game.
Well, let's put it this way. They've thrown for roughly 1,400 yards in their first four games and rushed for less than 500. So they're a little bit, not a little bit, a lot more pass than run.
Yeah, you're right. 38 of 56 was Donovan Smith for 331 and two touchdowns. So Roderick Thompson, who's their leading rusher, he did have 70 yards. That's on 17 carries.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't have good backs, but because both of those kids, Taj Brooks and Sir Roderick Thompson, it seems like they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. They both are pretty good runners, and they both are really fine pass catchers. And if you look at their stuff, I mean, I can even look at my study chart here and tell you that Sir Roderick Thompson has 38 rushes and 8 receptions. Taj Brooks, 39 rushes and 15 catches. So that's pretty good.
I think I'd said earlier that Bijan Robinson fumbled twice in the game. He just fumbled the one time. Maybe I just heard it wrong on the broadcast. I wasn't able to watch the whole game, but yeah, Bijan Robinson with a crucial fumble in that game. Let's see. Number 17, Baylor wins in Ames over Iowa State, 31-24. That was one as well. I think Baylor was just in control for pretty much the whole game, even though, Iowa State was starting to make it interesting. They were staying within two scores, but mostly just one score, but you know, Baylor was looking for that first big win on the road after not winning at BYU, and they were able to get it done against Iowa State to get to 3-1. Both teams are now 3-1.
Yeah, Blake Shapen, who did not play very well in Provo in this game, went 19 of 26 for 238 yards and three touchdowns. So he was solid, and they also ran the ball pretty well too. So I think they had 120-ish yards in the ball game rushing. So pretty good performance, and they're good at the line of scrimmage. They're going to be in this league race, Baylor is.
You know, don't sleep on TCU, I suppose, even though they were a big to start. SMU fights their way back, but the Horned Frogs win 42-34 to get to 3-0. And old Tanner Mordecai, I'm a big fan of his. He had a pretty big day. But Miller running the football for TCU. Is it Kendry Miller? Saying that right?
Kendry.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Almost a buck 50
in
that game. He had a pretty solid day.
Yeah, they lost a really big-time player in the offseason in the transfer portal, and Kendry's kind of taken over that top spot. Max Duggan, their quarterback's kind of been a guy. I mean, everybody knows how tough he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really kind of won the job partly through injury to Chandler Morris, but boy, he's been good. And they had a pretty significant lead in this game, and then SMU kind of cut into it. Imagine that. SMU's coach over the last few years goes to TCU, and in what, his fourth game or third or fourth game, has to go back to the old stomping grounds across from Fort Worth to Dallas and play in that game. Wouldn't that have been tough?
Weird. Yeah. A little awkward, maybe.
Awkward. Yeah.
And then finally, Kansas beats Duke. Sold out. The booth was sold out. 35-27 that final. Jalen Daniels is really good. Just 4 incompletions on the day, threw for 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And also was a leading rusher in the game.
83 rushing yards. So he's been rock solid. There's no doubt about that.
Well, hour 2, a Wildcat Insider will feature Deuce Vaughn. He spoke with the media. We'll get his thoughts after the game on Saturday against Oklahoma at 5:25. K-State offensively had a big turnaround from the game against Tulane to Oklahoma. Got some statistics to back that up. We'll also preview a little bit further the Texas Tech Red Raiders and what the Big 12 has to offer in week number 5 of the college football season. Hour 2 of the game, or of Wildcat Insider, is up next. Right now, your local news.